All right, thank you for being here this morning. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Great music this morning, by the way, as well. Let me mention a couple things before I get going here. The singles will be meeting at the Stonefire Grill tomorrow night at 7 for dinner. That's at the Lakewood Mall, and I hope that you will join us there. Excuse me. Also, can I get a little bit more on the monitors here, guys, if you'd help me with that? You know, if there's one thing I could do away with for us at the church here, it would be the fact we have to park off-site, okay? I get irritated when I guys I know that pastor in places like, you know, Kansas or whatever. It's like, yeah, we have 25 acres. I'm like, isn't that great? That's good. Thanks. And it's like, yeah, we have like 200 parking spots. I'm like, oh, that's nice. We're never going to have that, unfortunate. So part of being in a rural, in a city like we are, especially in California, excuse me, and how expensive it is, we're just never going to have parking. I can't grow parking, okay? And so parking off-site is just one of those things. A lot of you help us on Sunday mornings, and if you'd like to, that really helps to leave spots for visitors. But on Sunday night, family night, Spanish is coming in after us, and so if you're here for family nights, by the way, we have a blast. We have food. We can go to the gymnasium, and we watch the little guys play basketball. And that's quite funny and entertaining, okay? And so I hope you'll be here with us. And then that would be a help for us as well. And then if you have children past the pirate age and you have not put them in, they will love it. We do it during our midweek service. And it's kindergarten to sixth grade, full program. They will enjoy it. They get to sing biblical things that they learn. And so I encourage you to be a part of that. So much going on this summer, and I'm excited about it. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We recently preached out of Corinthians, and we'll go back over that as a understanding of what that church was like. When it comes to success in life and relationships, a big part of that is communication. Communication. When we do premarital counseling, we spend a lot of time on communication because really, especially marriage relationships, but in all relationships, when communication shuts down, you are heading in a very, very bad direction, right? What happens in a marriage is there's things that irritate you or things about one another that you wish you could deal with, and what happens is you stop talking about it. You don't bring it up, and then you internalize it. And you don't do anything about it. You don't talk. You don't give the other person a chance. And what happens is, eventually, something happens and you blow up. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'll tell you what it's like. If you were raised in a single parent family with a mom, moms typically are not as disciplined as fathers as sticking on things like this. My mom was great, but I could pull the wool over her eyes a little bit. But what happened is there'd be that one time I'd push that wrong button. And those other five times I should have been disciplined, she just kind of all grouped it together right there, and I got all six at one time. How do you know what I'm talking about? She's making up for lost time, buddy. And I'm like, I got the message. But that's what happens. Communication, we hold it in. And it's very important that we don't do that because communication is important. We live in a time of technology, and it's all over the place, and we're more connected than ever, but the fact of the matter is we communicate less than ever. It seems like the art of communication is dead. You know, people want to talk through text. And by the way, the thing about a text, right, you can misinterpret it. Someone says something, it's like, they're mad. It's like, they're not mad. It's just that when you read a text, you don't see the emotions. But when you're talking eye to eye, you can hear what they're saying, right? By the way, you have the people that do the all capital text. Now, if that's you, God bless you, but be careful about that. Because when I read all capital, here's what I say. You are late! Okay, so anyhow. But text, you can get confused with that. And sometimes it's like, you got to stop texting and you got to put that down, call each other, and talk because it's not what you think it is. But how do you know when communication is a real problem? Here's the biggest when you are choosing not to listen. There's a difference between hearing what somebody said and listening to what they said. Big difference. You know, if you're married, you know how this is. You're driving the car, you're going out to eat, you're talking, and you're saying words. And it's like, you're hearing the words, but you're not listening. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, you could just pull the wool over their eyes, you know. If they're not listening, just throw stuff in there like, hey, is it okay if I take $3,000 out of the bank account? Yeah, sure, honey, go ahead. Just do, yeah, that's fine. I told my wife one time, I could tell she was something else she was thinking about, looking at her phone. I'm like, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. Oh, that's great. That's fine. Like, I'm not pregnant. I'll leave that one alone. We know the problems of the Corinthian church. We talked about it a few weeks ago, that they were a very worldly and wicked church in the way that they were living. There was immorality in their church. There was divisions. There was strife, fighting. There was an abuse of spiritual gifts. They had problems in their relationships. In fact, they even messed up the Lord's Supper. The problem was that in their actions, they were acting more like the city they lived in, and Corinth was a very wicked city. It was a port city. It was very important to commerce. It was very prosperous, but there was a lot of sin going on. And even in their worship, it was very, very sinful. And so what had happened is that had got into the church. Well, the reason that it got into the church is because the church was no longer listening to God. They were done. They knew more than they were actually living. They had heard things from God, but they actually weren't listening to it or actually doing what God wanted them to do. We call that a communication problem. And we have communication problems with God sometimes. Not that he is not speaking to us, because God does speak to us. If we have a Bible, by the way, if we don't open it, of course he's not going to speak to us. He's trying to, we're not listening. But we have a Bible, we can come to church and hear the word of God taught. We have Christian friends, we can encourage one another. We can learn things. And the problem is not that God's not communicating. If there's a communication breakdown, it's always, 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 always going to be on our end. We're choosing not to listen to what God is saying. Communication is a two-way street. And I understand we can communicate with God through prayer. That's not the message today. The message today is we won't even communicate with God in prayer if we're not allowing him to speak to us and we're willing to receive it. And God wants that. Well, as we look at the Corinthian church and all the different issues that they had, their issue was they knew what God wanted. They just weren't willing to do it. Now, let me say this for us. There's no way we will ever be the Christians we're supposed to be. And that's in every area of our life. Unless we have the ability to get what God is trying to communicate to us. We don't have that communication breakdown. We must be vigilant with that. So here's the question. What causes a breakdown in that communication with God? Now again, we're not talking about prayer. Prayer is important, but that's not the message this morning. When I'm saying communication breakdown, I'm talking about the fact that God wants to communicate with us and we're not listening for whatever reason. Now, it could be sometimes, and it's not necessarily the message, that we're just flat out rebellious. I don't want to hear you. Okay? And I don't do that. In our family, I don't put up with that very well. My son's been out of town. We've had the grandkids staying with us a little bit, and they've been great for the most part. And you know, the little ones, I said, hey, don't do that. And they're like, they did it again. I said, hey, okay, here, let me explain how it works. And they weren't being bad. I'm like, I'm going to say it once. We don't say it twice. Okay, so just back down here. Get away from the sugar. And I probably shouldn't. I've been taking them out for ice cream and stuff. That's probably the issue right there. But I'm not talking about rebellion. But there are other things that happen in our life that cause or lend itself to a communication breakdown. That's what we're seeing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So let me give you a few of them and encourage us today not to let this happen. So what causes a communication breakdown? Let me give you a couple thoughts. When we are struggling with spirituality, okay, look at verse 1. He says, and I, brethren, they were saved. Some people say, well, if they live a certain way, they're not saved. Well, they were having some issues, but what did he call them? Brethren. They were saved. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. He says, I can't even talk to you in a spiritual manner. I have to talk to you like you're a carnal person, a person that is more like this world, that lives a certain way and really doesn't care about spiritual things. He goes, I can't speak to you. I have to speak to you from a carnal level and not a spiritual level. Why? Spirituality just wasn't that important to them. When we think of it in terms of communication, there's a couple things that communication depends on. The level of understanding of the individual. In other words, sometimes they just don't understand what's being said because they're not spiritually coherent. Now, I don't know a lot of Spanish at all. Back when I was in college, I could actually speak a little bit more and at least present the gospel in a very vague way. But sometimes I know the phrase how to invite them to church, and I'd invite them to church in Spanish, and they would just hear the five Spanish words and like, this guy speaks Spanish. And they're like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, whoa. You know, I'm like, oh, tenemos cultos en español también. Right? We have services in Spanish too. That's it. And like, oh, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, don't get it. Don't understand you. Now, my wife speaks Spanish, but she doesn't speak the high-level Spanish, right? We were getting the taco guy for Emily's party, and I heard her on the phone, and she was speaking her Spanish to him, and I'm like, she speaks it slow enough, and she uses the words like I was interpreting for the kids. She's saying this, because there's like, I understood the seven words she was saying, right? But sometimes you don't understand. We don't speak their language. There's a spiritual language. God wants us to understand spiritual things, and sometimes we just don't get that. But also communication depends on the desire of the individual to hear what's being said. You know, some things we just don't understand. Pick a hobby. You could talk to someone about any hobby they have. And once you get into that hobby, there's little like words and idiosyncrasies and these type of things that people say, and it's like, I don't get it, but they get it. You know why? That's their hobby, and they want to understand it, and that's their desire, so they get it. If you're like baseball, right? It's like, oh, how many RBIs does he have? I'm like, a ribby? What is that? How many of you don't know what an RBI is? Okay. How about an ERA? You know, Equal Rights Amendment. Earned run average. How many earned runs does he give up average per nine innings? Thank you. I know that one. Why? I know baseball. But you're like, that's like another language. You know why? Because you don't like baseball. And you don't have it. I hardly pay attention to baseball anymore. I know a little bit. And they have all these new war. War? W-A-R? I have no idea what that means. It's like, that's war. No, it's war. So World War II was like wins against replacement two? I know what you're talking about, right? But it's like, I don't follow it as much anymore, right? So they have OPS. Yeah, I don't get it. I haven't been paying attention. I just know, wow, that seems really high. Because I don't have a desire as I used to have. That's going to be the same thing true in spirituality, isn't it? You see, Paul struggled to talk to them on a spiritual level. They could not understand spiritual things, so he could not communicate to them about spiritual things. And let me just say this, if you're a newer Christian, I understand that, but don't stay there. You know, we talk about sanctification, and you're like, what? It's just a spiritual word that means we're growing in our faith and becoming more like Christ. But you may not understand all those. That's okay, but can I just tell you something? Neither did I when I got saved. But you know what happened? As I went on, I wanted to learn more, and I grew. But you have to be spiritual, or you're not going to get it. Some people don't, they have no desire for spirituality, so Paul could not communicate to them on a spiritual level. That was the carnal part. You know, the problem is this. That when we are more interested in carnal things and spiritual things, we have more of a desire for those things. So those are the things we know more about and the less of the spiritual that we know. So here's the thing. The problem is not whether or not you can be spiritual, because we all can. The problem is, do we want to be spiritual? Like, there's another sport out there, cricket. I thought that was like a bug that rubbed its leg together. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like cricket. It's like baseball, 360 degrees. And the guy carries his weapon with him. I have no idea how it works. I don't. And here's why. Are you ready? I don't care. We don't play cricket in this country. Well, Pastor, I like curling. What, your hair? It's like throwing a tea kettle down an ice ramp. I don't care. I don't want to know what they do because I have no desire. Now, if you like cricket, have a good time. If you like curling, my wife likes curling or hair. I have no desire. Now, that's funny, but here's the deal. If we don't have a desire for spiritual things, we're not going to like them. You come to our church, let me just explain it real quick. If you don't want to learn or you don't want to be spiritual, you won't enjoy us very much. Okay? And so I encourage you, let's be spiritual. Let's do. Maybe we're struggling our communication with God because we're not in tune with spirituality. And it goes with the second one. We may also struggle with our maturity. Let's continue in verse 1. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, as unto carnal, because you had no desire for spiritual things, even as unto babes in Christ. That's immaturity. Not only were they not spiritual, they were also not mature, right? And by the way, the two go together. A lack of spiritual growth will lead to an abundance of immaturity. You know, babies are great, but if you're changing their diaper 5 years down the road, something's seriously wrong. I didn't want to change their diaper when they were 5 days old. I don't change their diaper ever, to be honest with you. But being the good father I was, occasionally I bit the bullet. I get it. But I want them to mature. I want them to grow. But you can't communicate with a baby. Here's how you communicate with a baby. I can make them smile. I know. Look, we've raised so many. By the time you get to the sixth one, you spin them on your finger. It all works. You know, you're used to it. But it's like, you know, I don't. As they get older, you can actually have conversations. When I'm with my older sons, I don't like. You talk to them as adults. We have to mature in our faith. How do we do that? Maturity comes by adding some things. You don't need to turn there. You can jot this down. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 8 tells us about this. And it says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And then he gives these things in order. You add to your faith virtue, and then to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and he goes on. In other words, he said it's step by step. So as a Christian, as I'm coming into Christianity, and when I did come into Christianity, I realized there were some things I needed to add to my life, and I started adding those things to my life. But growth also comes by subtraction. If I'm adding things, there were some things I needed to subtract. By the way, in Peter, just so I'm not making this up, he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Faith is where you start, salvation. Add to your faith virtue. By the way, these are in order. He doesn't say add to your faith virtue, knowledge, patience. He goes, no, add to your faith virtue. Then you add to virtue knowledge. Now, wait a minute. What's virtue? That's the way you live. Because, see, if you're not willing to change the way you live up front, you're not going to grow in your faith. You're not going to get knowledge because you're rejecting the knowledge of God. And so how do I grow in virtue? There were some things I had to clean out of the closet and I had to get rid of, and I was willing to do that. And so if we're going to, we have to be mature. Let's grow in our maturity. By the way, and this is a commercial break. If you're in our church and you've been here for a while, we have newer people come. Patience. I am so glad that when I walked into church that they were patient with me, because I did not look like a Christian, I did not dress like a Christian, and I didn't act like a Christian. And they were like, but I was there every service. I had my Bible. Came down front row. Got to pay extra for these seats. But, you know, and I'm like, I wanted to grow. And they saw that, and they were patient with me. Some of the questions I asked, some of the things I said, are probably like, okay, baby Christian. Yeah, I was. But I'm glad that they hung with me. Next, we are going to have a communication breakdown when we struggle with appetite. Verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Now, I don't know about you. I like meat. I have never in my life heard of barbecued milk. By the way, I quit drinking milk like 25 years ago. I don't even know why. I used to love milk. I mean, you could put a straw in a gallon and let's go. Someone told me, like, no one drink. I'm like, I don't know. But I just quit drinking. It was on accident, but I don't drink. But, man, look, well, I believe in pita. I know. I like pita bread. It holds meat really good. So I don't think you ought to eat. You ought to eat animals. Then why did God make them out of meat? Okay, come on now. Glass of milk or barbecue ribs? I don't really like ribs. Barbecue chicken? Chicken. Milk or tofu? Fasting. Not doing it. Okay. But now let's go to spirituality, right? Milk is for a baby Christian. It's the basic things of the Bible. You're just learning the new things. And hang in there. That's good stuff too, by the way. Don't get me wrong. But if you're drinking meat, I'm not drinking meat. Don't drink meat. If you are drinking milk as a Christian, 10 years down the road, you haven't matured. Your appetite needs to change. You got to grow in that area. Okay? He goes, for hitherto you're not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. Now, we have a bunch of babies. We always have babies born in our family. The newest is Liam. I'm not giving Liam steak. He can't handle it. I mean, look, these kids that drink formula, if you change their formula, the stuff that comes out of their diaper is horrific. Different colors. But they can't, their digestive system, they can't handle it. They can't. They'll choke to death. But so what happens? Their appetite's not ready for that. By the way, baby food is yucky. You know, pears and asparagus. Those don't go together. If I came out and said, honey, what's for dinner? Well, honey, I took pears and I took asparagus and I blended it together. I'm like, Taco Bell. And I know that's bad for you, but I'm not going to eat pears and asparagus. Okay, but baby food yucky. I want the real stuff. I want the meat. Maybe we're struggling in our communication with God. Here it is, because we just don't have an appetite for it. You see, we have to want it. It has to be something that we desire. Children's appetites default to the bad, right? You try to feed them asparagus. I mean, I eat asparagus. To me, it's just it's a stick in butter. But I'll eat it. The kids say it's good. You know, broccoli, I'll eat it. The other stuff, I'd rather you blend it and put it in a cup, but I'll eat it. I didn't used to. I used to hate vegetables. But I grew out of that. I kind of like them now. But children look at it and say, I don't like the way it looks. I don't like the texture. I don't like the feel of it. And you just look at them and say, tough luck. See, we let them default to, you know, look, everybody likes, you know, candy. It's not good for them. Ask a child, what do you want for dinner? I want cereal. That's candy food. That's not healthy. But so what we need to do as Christians, a lot of the Christian stuff when I came in is like, what? That doesn't look very appetizing. I had to change my appetite. The problem is we come in and our appetite is really for the flesh. So we don't have an appetite for the spiritual. Because we're sinful in nature, we are more attracted to the flashly and the fleshly than we are really then to the sensible and the spiritual. And I understand that. You got to change your appetite. By the way, that's why churches make a huge mistake when they bring that thing into the church. Well, let me take the fleshly things and bring it into the church for more people to come. Okay? Is that going to make you healthy? That's like saying, I'll have more people come over for dinner if I feed them, you know, Lucky Charms. They eat enough Lucky Charms, you're going to get an upset stomach. It's not good for you. We need to change our appetite. But here is a good thing about appetite. It can be changed and you can cultivate an appetite for things you didn't used to like. How many of you, there was a food that you didn't used to like, but now you like it? Come on. Now, there's some food I'm never going to cultivate an appetite for. Fish. Now, Pastor, Jesus ate fish. And he walked on water, and I'm not doing that either. Not. Okay? But there are, you can cultivate an appetite. And when I walked into church, there were things I did not like. Things that were, I didn't like their music. I'll just be real honest with you, like, uh-uh. The music they played in church wasn't the music I was listening to at the Long Beach Arena. In my car. At home. I didn't like that. And I'm like, I knew my music was not good for me spiritually, so I gave it up. And I'm like, whatever. But you know what? As I sat in church, as we sang the hymns, as we heard the specials, I'm like, that's good stuff. You know why? My appetite changed. I like that music. You know? Activities. The stuff the church did that they said was fun had nothing to do with the stuff I was doing. But you know what I found out after a while? I liked the church stuff. See, as I started to get involved in the things that are right, I developed a cultivation for them. Another reason that we may struggle in our communication with God is because we're struggling with relationships. Look at verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. You see, there's when we don't have the right spirituality, the right appetite, the right maturity level, it's going to seep into our relationships, right? He says, for you are carnal, and he gives you a proof right now. For whereas there is among you envying. Well, that person's this, and I'm that. Strife, they're fighting. Divisions, I'm on team this, I'm on team that. Are you not carnal and walk as men? For one saith, I am of Paul. And another, I am of Paul. They were just ding, 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 in this corner, Apollos, in this corner, Paul. I'm in Paul's corner. Like, there was just fighting, division, strife all over the place. Why? Because their communication with God was breaking down, and it gets to this level, relationship. We've mentioned it over and over. I don't want to beat it here. But your relationship with others and your relationship with God are on equal footing. You can't tell me that you can have a good relationship with God and not have a good relationship with people. I just love Jesus and they're a jerk. Okay. Come on now. We're Christians. Men say he loved God and hates his brother. He is a liar. I cannot have a great relationship with God if I do not have a great relationship with others. You say, well, aren't people difficult? Yeah. And I can tell you who the most difficult person is. Look above the sink in your bathroom. There's a picture of them. I see that guy every morning. Now, he's handsome, but he can be a problem. Okay? What are we doing here? It's like, I get it. We have to work at it. If I don't have a great relationship with others, then I do not have a great relationship with God. I don't have much tolerance towards somebody who wants to tell me how much they love God and they treat everybody horribly. Right? I mean, come on. What are we doing here? So your Christianity didn't get to your relationship level? You know, the fruit of the Spirit isn't working in your life? Love, joy, peace. Hold on. You know, long-suffering. I don't like that one either. I don't, but I got to do it. Gentleness. Meekness. No. But the Spirit of God says yes. All of those things. Now listen to me. All of those things help you in relationships. So if you're struggling in relationships, you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. Let's move on quickly. I'm feeling bad about this one too. Okay. I can find out what type of Christian you are by asking several people. First one would be your spouse. Okay? Your spouse. How about your children? Dad says praise God at church, but he says something different at home. Why am I picking? I don't want to pick on the dads. Mom says something at home. Yes, all right. How about your parents? You know, Pastor, my parents don't come to church, and I'm doing the best I can here, and I just love God. I'm being persecuted. No, why don't you clean your room? I had a girl tell me that when I was a youth director. I'm being persecuted at home. My parents don't come to church, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And I called her parents. They're like, we're glad she goes to church, but she's lazy and doesn't do anything and has a bad attitude. That was a nice counseling session with them later. Like, hey, the problem's you, not them. All right, moving on. Ask your siblings, you know, once you get past 15. How about your in-laws? I have the best relationship with my mother-in-law. She lives 3 states away. But the fact of the matter is, she could live 3 doors away, and we'd have a great relationship. My wife always had a great relationship. I could never have went to my mom and complained about my wife. She would have taken her side. My wife had her so blitzed. How about your boss? It's getting real quiet. I can hear the water in the baptistry. How about your coworkers? And we'll move on after this one. You ready? How about people you serve in a business sense? Huh? Yeah. Look, here's the point today. There are so many variables that break down our communication with God, but we can fix them. See? When we see these things like, man, I'm struggling in this area, it's not to beat us down. You know what it is? It's God's way of saying, hey, there's a problem. Why don't we fix it? Right? I'm a bit of an optimist. People come into church like, I'm struggling in this area, I'm struggling with my marriage, I'm struggling with this. I'm like, this can be fixed. There's a God. Like, you know, and that's what the Bible's for. It's not to slam us down and you can't get back up. It's to say, hey, you got an issue, let's fix this thing. And so, how's your community? There are some basic things. How's your spirituality? Do you want to be spiritual? And by the way, if you're new, I'm not hammering on you. Keep growing. You'll get it. How's your maturity level? Are you progressing in your faith? I don't care if this is like the ultimate spirituality here. I don't care if you're here. Here's what I care. You ready? Well, not me. Here's what God cares. What direction are you going? As long as you're heading the right direction, it's all good.
Yes, sir.
Just keep going.
Yep.
Right? How's your appetite? Do the things of God, and listen, I'm with you. I walked into church and I'm like, these people are from the 18th century. What is going on? But I love the Word of God, and I love Jesus, and I wanted to serve Him, and I wanted God to do something different in my life, and man, my appetite changed. I want to change my appetite. Not if you're hanging out at Taco Bell. McDonald's. Okay. And then how's your relationships? The relationships are the fruit of what's going on in your life. And I get it. Some people are difficult. But the point is this. God wants us to fix our communication. And He wants us to avoid what was going on in the Corinthian church. What areas do we need to fix this morning? Let's bow our head and close our eyes if we may for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute. Remember, the problem will never be that God doesn't want to communicate with you. That's never the issue. The issue is this. Are you at a place where God can communicate with you? In other words, are you willing to listen? Or are there some blockages in your life? A lack of spirituality, lack of maturity, lack of appetite, and a lack of proper relationships. Let's work on these today. And by the way, none of us are perfect, right? We may have a great appetite, but there's still areas we can fix. We might be growing in our faith. There's still things we need to learn. We might be maturing, but we never arrive. We might have good relationships, but they can always be better. Now, before we have our invitation, I will ask this. God cannot, and don't take this as a slam, just listen to what I'm about to say. God cannot communicate with you unless you're one of His children. You'll never understand anything of any spiritual nature unless you are saved. Because the truth of God is spiritually discerned. Here's the thing that God wants you to understand this morning if you don't know Him in a personal way. He wants you to understand that He is the way to heaven, the only way to heaven. That's it. So here's the question. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have any doubt? Do you even have a spiritual reason, a biblical reason why you'd go to heaven? You say, Pastor, that's me this morning. I'm not sure that if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. That's something I'd really like to know. Pastor, would you pray for me with nobody looking around? If that's you, would you just raise your hand real quick and I'll pray for you? Anybody at all? Yes. Just raise your hand. I'll see it. You can put it down. Yes. I found Christ in his church service just like this. Yes. Let's stand together if we may. The piano is going to play. Are you at a place where you can listen to God, or some things you might need to clean up a little? Things I had to clean up, and really, to be honest with you, I still need to clean some things up. The piano's going to play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come? That's why this altar is open.